Okay, Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for being good to us. I thank you for just a body that is excited about doing your work. God, there's no way that just the pastoral team, there's no way that just Brian and his family, there's no way that even just a select few could do what you've called us to do. And so it's really encouraging to see just a church body full of people who are excited about following you, excited about doing your work, excited about even suffering for you at times, and just really wants to be obedient. And so, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today as we endeavor to dip our toes into the book of Acts. And there's a lot to even try to wrap our heads around to get started on this. So I pray you would clear my thoughts. There's a lot of things that I really want to say, but I have a feeling I'm going to have a lot of weeks to do it. So, Lord, I praise you for everything you've done this week, getting Brian and Steve back to town and just hearing a really good trip report, and just the relationships that were made while they were out in the kingdom of God. And so we praise you for the little bit that I've heard so far about the trip in Mexico and you getting the team back safe last night. And Lord, I pray you would just, you know, reunite the team with their families and just let them hit the ground running, as that's what we do here. And I thank you for just everybody who was praying for them. And we do pray for just Holly's grandfather and the opportunity she's going to have to just witness to her family. And the same with Jordan, with you know, her grandfather passing, and just the bringing the family together in a time like this to for your purpose, Lord. So I pray that you would just get the glory from all those things. There's a lot of things happening, Lord, so I just pray you get the glory for all of them. Speak to us today in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Acts. And there's not even a caveat this week. Abby's like glaring at me. So the stuff on the board, I've seen people looking at it. It has nothing to do with today. So if you're like, oh my gosh, if that's what Acts is, that's a little over the top. That's D2 stuff, and it's there for last week and this week, so I had to leave it up there. One time a year. One time a year I write on the board, and it's when I'm teaching the end time stuff in D2. So anyway, now that everybody's looking at that. So the book of Acts, what's that? Oh.
Picture of the abomination of desolation.
Wait. Yeah, he's... Anyway.
Is that like the baby dedication?
That's a different type of sacrifice. Wow, we really got off the rails already. Okay, the book of Acts. Not that this is going to be a shocker, but we're not going to get very far today. But here is the goal. I want to be ready to start next week. And no, but we are going to start. Like, this is, Abby's just completely given. We've got to know just the basic info about the book before we can dive right in. There's just so much to it. And so if it took me, and I say me because I'd like to blame you guys for it, but if it took me nearly a year to teach through Jonah, which was 4 chapters, and they were all really short chapters, I have a feeling it might take a little bit more than a year to get through the book of Acts. And so there's so much that goes into this book. And I'm not just going to give you info today. So if you're like here in a little bit, you get glazy-eyed because you're like, that's just a bunch of information. What I really want to get to is the heart behind it, the why. The why we are, as a class, as the Passpoint class, in the book of Acts. Because it doesn't just happen by accident. And we'll get to there in a minute. So anyway, I'm going to need, and you guys are kind of spunky today anyway, so this shouldn't be too bad. I need some interaction as far as, and there really are no wrong answers, unless it's wrong, but I'm not going to tell you it's wrong. Tell me anything or just some basic facts that you know about the book of Acts. When you think about the book of Acts, what comes to your mind?
Transition.
I mean, okay.
That's all I know.
That's all you know? Okay, well, that's good.
It takes a while to get started.
Yeah. We're learning that very quickly. Man, the rough crowd.
The Holy Spirit.
What's that?
The Holy Spirit?
Everything's backwards?
Actually, I was reading, I had my big Bible out this morning. It doesn't happen very often. The one that I use when I went through HBI, I have all my notes in it. One of these days I'm going to get to where I can't read the little one anymore and I'm going to have to go back to that one. But anyway, I was reading through some of my notes and one of the things I thought was really interesting was the theme of the book of Acts is the only thing that is consistent is its inconsistency. And I'm like, there's so much truth to that. So anything else? What comes to mind? When you're thinking of book of Acts, what comes to your mind? What? The church? Speaking in tongues? I'm glad somebody said it, right? Huh?
Paul's origin story.
Paul's origin story. That's like a really theological answer.
What?
The road to Damascus? Okay.
History.
That's a theological answer as well.
Gentiles being saved.
The Gentiles being saved. Like, so all those things are correct. The crazy thing is, we're in a book that all of those things are correct. And so it is so crazy what God does in this one book. And so the book of Acts, if I was just to paraphrase what it is, and I don't even have this written down, this is just off the cuff. It is the transition from Jesus Christ's death, where he left his disciples, to where the church is going for the rest of time. And it's in a time span of about 30 to 35 years. So in a time frame of about 30 to 35 years, we go from Jesus is no longer here, what are we going to do, to this is the marching orders of the church until I come back. And so obviously, there's going to be a lot of transition in something like that. Like, you're not going to be able to just go from, well, Jesus was right here, I could have asked him, to what am I going to do for the rest of time? And so there's going to be a lot of transition that goes into something like this. Right? And so, here's just some facts about the book. Just some things that if you're somebody who wants to write these down, you can. If not, it's completely useless knowledge. But what's that?
Facts about Acts.
Facts about Acts. No, God gave me a, I don't say it's not me. God gave me a really good title for the book of Acts, and we'll get to it soon enough. But like, it's not even one that I think I'll come up with a better one later, because typically that's what happens. This one's like spot on. So here's some facts. What? Yeah, so we'll get to it today. There's 28 chapters. Anybody could have figured that one out. There are 1,007 verses in the book of Acts. And you're like, okay, that's a lot. If you really want to break it down, there's 24,229 words. And I didn't count it myself. I'm trusting Jim Boyette when I went through the old New Testament survey in HBI. He gave me all those facts. But anyway, there's a lot of transitions in the book of Acts. Somebody just give me a few of the transitions that you know of in the book of Acts.
Jew to the Gentile.
The Jew to the Gentile. That's one of the biggest ones. That's correct. From the law to the age of grace. That's correct.
HBI student.
He's probably got them written in his Bible over there. He's just reading them. He's like not even looking up. He's just, you know, eating his oatmeal. And
it's not fair.
Hey, that's recent.
I am reading them all.
Yeah, I am reading. Anybody else got any? If not, we'll let Chris finish his list in a minute. But what's that?
From Jerusalem to Antioch.
Yeah, from Jerusalem, the transition from Jerusalem to Antioch. Huh? Yeah, the first church. We see the first church. You know, it says that the Christians were first, or they were first called Christians at Antioch. That's where the word Christian comes from. Was, you know, the first church. Any other just transitions that pop out when you think of how things from the Old to New Testament? That's one of the biggest ones. You're transitioning from, and you're like, wait a minute, I thought it transitioned at the beginning of Matthew. Well, we'll get there. I don't want to confuse anybody, but really, the New Testament starts in Acts chapter 2. So we'll get there soon enough.
What about like teaching to spreading?
Yeah. Yeah. You're basically teaching to going. Chris, any of them that we missed?
I have all down. God dealing with nations to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
From Hebrew to the Greek.
Oh, slow down.
From physical temple to a spiritual body. That's all we got.
Yeah.
Let's see the dispensation, because it changed the dispensations.
Yeah, the dispensation changes when.
What's the one before?
Yeah, you're basically in, you know, the.
You got to go to D2.
Brother.
Man, you guys are like on it today. So a few of them that I jotted down, from the Jew to the Gentile, that's the biggest one that you're going to see. At the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus has, you know, just resurrected, or he's getting ready to resurrect in chapter 1. And everything about his ministry and the ministry of the disciples has been to the Jews. There was no ministry to the Gentiles whatsoever. And by the end of the book, actually by the middle of the book, is completely transitioned, and it's no longer just to the Jews, it's to the Gentiles. And so that's the big change to get into the age of grace. It is the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We'll get into why that actually happens in chapter 2 when we get to chapter 2. There's no reason to explain it right now. We see a transition. This is one that I didn't hear, from Peter to Paul, which is a big one. The book starts with Peter as the main character. Everything that is happening is revolving around the Apostle Peter. By the time you get to about halfway through the book, Peter's not even mentioned anymore. And everything that's happening is revolving around the Apostle Paul. And so there's a transition there.
Where Robin, Peter,
and
Paul is where that came from.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe you. I just...
Like, you're Robin, Peter, and Paul. It came from the
book of Acts. There you go. That's true. I mean, when you think about the context behind it, there's the transition from the individual. Like, everything that Christ did was to the individual. There was no doing it to, you know, a group of people known as the church or anything. Everything that Christ did was to the individual. And by the time you get to the end of the book, everything that is done to the church. Right? And so God is no longer dealing, not that he doesn't deal with individuals inspirationally, but he's dealing with something corporately with the church. It is the transition from knowledge to action. And I'll explain that here in a little bit, because that's where I really want to get. We see the transition from Saul to Paul very quickly. So anyway, there's a lot of transitions that happen. So who wrote the book of Acts?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit dwelt, inspired, right? Yes, Dr. Luke. Luke, the Apostle Luke, wrote the book of Acts, just so you can have that information. And, you know, if you really want to, it was written by Luke. If you're looking for a time frame, again, this is, to me, useless information, but if you're looking for it, somewhere between 63 and 70 A.D., that's not when the book took place. That's when he actually penned the book. So key verse. This is the last thing, and then we'll get to something a little bit. So if you had to pick a key verse in the book of Acts, because you guys have surely been reading it a little bit, haven't you? No? Acts 1:8 is the key verse for the entire book. Somebody read it. I had you open up to Acts. Somebody read Acts 1:8.
But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Right. We used that verse last week when we were talking about the everyone bring. And I think it's interesting, a book of 28 chapters, the key verse is found in the first chapter, but it's because this is your marching order now. This is what my view, this is my heart for what you will do as a Christian from here on out. So he gives you the orders, and then he gives you 27 more chapters of this is what that kind of looks like. And this is how you do that. And so, anyway, the book of Acts is going to read a lot like a storybook. You know, there's some really cool things in there. There's some things in there that you're like, I don't even understand what is happening right now. Like, this guy was preaching, then he was stoned, and then not like we get stoned today, or not we, but not like people get stoned today, but, And then he just resurrects from the dead. Like, there's some crazy things that happen, and it makes you want to read more. I really like the way that the book of Acts reads as far as that goes. So, yeah. Yes, we'll get there soon enough. Let's see. So, yeah, transitional nature of the book. It won't be this year, no. We talked about, you know, the transitional nature of the book. We looked at some of just the natural transitions. So here's, I don't ever want anyone to leave Passpoint. You should never leave church, but especially Passpoint without having, you shouldn't ever just leave with some sort of knowledge. It's okay to gain knowledge, but you should have something that's like, how does that apply to me? That's what we call the devotional aspect of any kind of teaching. Right? Sometimes you're teaching historically, sometimes you're teaching doctrinally, but you should always have something inspirationally. When you think about the book of Acts as a whole, this is something that was really cool when I went through HBI, because I was pretty dumb when I went through HBI. I'm still not much smarter now, but I knew nothing, really. And so one of the things that I really just was cool to see was the devotional aspect of the book as a whole is Jesus is replacing himself with the church, right? Because all through the Gospels, it was all about Christ. It was all about, he was the main focal point. He was, and it's this transition of, well, he can't be here forever. I mean, he will actually be for, I mean, eternity, actually. But there's a time frame after he was crucified that he can't be here forever. So he has to replace himself with the church. And so here's what that looks like. Because it's easy to say, oh, yeah, he replaces himself for the church. But what does Jesus say in John 14:6? Yeah, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But he basically says, I am three things. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He replaces all three of those aspects in the book of Acts because he's replacing himself with the church. So he says, I am the way. Well, he has to replace the way. Jesus is, he is the way, but the church is the way that we get those things done. You know, you don't have a lone ranger that just goes out and saves the world anymore. You know, the church does that. The church is the hands and feet of Christ. Everything that gets done in the ministry is through the local New Testament church. Everything that God is doing is going to be through the local New Testament church, through the training of the saints, through the growing up of believers. All of those things is done through the church, right? You can say, oh, well, I don't need the church. I hear people say this, you know, all the time. They're like, well, I don't need the church. You're right, you don't need the church. But let me know how long you last without it, right? Because the world is wicked and it will tear you down. And so the way is the church. The truth is now, it's not just Jesus Christ. Now, I know John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, when he was here, he was the Word. But he's no longer here. So what has he replaced himself with? The Word of God. So he is replacing himself with the church. The church is the way, the truth is the Word, and the life is now the Holy Spirit that indwells us, which up until Acts chapter 2 wasn't a thing, right? He came and went all through the Old Testament. But now the life is the Holy Spirit. And so that's just a really cool way to see the way that God has completely replaced his physical self with the organic being of the local New Testament church. So anyway, let's get going. So here's the real question that needs answered today. Because those are facts and that's cool. And the book of Acts is fun and you can read it and be confused just like anybody else. Because there's a lot of things that you're going to read and be like, that, I don't understand that. That doesn't happen. Why does it say that? And we'll get to all of those things soon enough. Speaking in tongues and, you know, healing and all the things like, we'll get there. But why are we, when I say we, the Past Point class, corporately, why are we in the book of Acts? That's what I want you guys to know when you leave here. Because I know it may seem like it, and most of the time you might be right. But not everything that goes on in my head is just chasing squirrels, right? Not everything that goes on in my life is a means to an end to get to the next thing, you know, to check off check marks on a list. Because that's me pretty much, right? I got a list of things that need to be done, and how can I get them done as quickly and as efficiently as possible? But I never write that.
You did say it's in his head.
Yeah. So, nothing that we do, at least I'll say this, nothing that we as a class have done for the past, say, 4 or 5 years has been accidental. I was young and dumb for a while, and there may have just been like, hey, that sounds good to teach. But for the most part, nothing that we do as a class has been accidental. And I'll explain what I mean in a minute. So if nothing that you do is accidental, you could say that in another way that actually sounds a little more purposeful. Because it's easy to say, well, nothing that we do is an accident. But if you say that everything that you do is intentional, that sounds like, oh, well, there's a plan behind it, right? To say that nothing we do is accidental is just happenstance. But to say that everything that we do is intentional, there's vision behind it. There's a goal behind it. And so the past several years, the things that we have taught, or I say we, I've taught and other people have taught along with me, and just the way that the class has grown, not just in size, but in spiritual depth, has been exponential. Just huge. I look around the room and I can just think of where I was 5 years ago. You know, and I don't even remember when it was that I started teaching Past Point, but I mean, okay, so it's definitely been more than 5 years, but I really think like for the last 5 years anyway, it's about as far as I can remember back, that I was intentional about where we were going. And before that, I think it was just, you know, where are we going now, God? And so we started with, I had taught some different things, but God really put on my heart to teach the book of Romans, right? And it took a while, because the book of Romans, if you could only have one book of your Bible, like if they said you only get one, that better be the one that you choose, or at least it should be. It is, you know, the theology of Christianity in 16 chapters. There's so much to it. It is how you get saved, what you do once you get saved, all of those things. And so the book of Romans is great. And I wanted to make sure that across the board, and I understand not everybody was in here when we taught through Romans, there's going to be growth that happens. And if you want it, you can go back and get it. That's all available online. But I wanted to make sure that we all have the same foundation. Because God was showing me, hey, we need to get somewhere. Right? We're not just doing this church thing to do this church thing. We're not just doing Christianity to say, oh, well, I go to church. Who cares? Right? I'm glad that you're at church. I'm glad that you feel built up when you come to church. But at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with your feelings. You know, God uses your feelings to guide you. But the problem is, a lot of times we get drunk on our feelings, on emotion. And then we're just carried away out with every wind of doctrine. And so I wanted to make sure that we as a class were on the same firm foundation. And that had to start in the book of Romans. And then that led into 1 Corinthians, not because I thought you guys were carnal, and, you know, because that's what that book is about. But I wanted you to see where a good foundation could lead if you let it. Because that's what happened in Corinth. They had a good foundation. The Apostle Paul founded that church in Corinth, but then they didn't stay rooted and grounded. And that was my biggest concern, was like, oh, now we've got all this doctrine out of the book of Romans, and now we're kind of like walking around with heads so big that we can't even hold them up because we have all this knowledge. And if we're not careful, this is what will happen. And we went into 1 Corinthians, because if you're not careful, you know, you'll stumble and fall, and you'll end up, you know, a carnal church, and you're farther off the mark than you were when you started. So that's why we ended up in 1 Corinthians. But what I really wanted to get to was Jonah, right? And what is it that God is telling me to do? Because I wanted you guys to know, like, take a hold of what God's telling you to do and run with it. But that led to the family life study and, you know, the basics of the basics. You know, what is God telling me to do as far as just following Him? What is He telling me to do as far as being a spouse if I'm married? As far as, you know, other Christians? As far as raising kids? You know, a lot of the things that people in here are for the most part going through. Now, it doesn't mean that you're left out if you're not going through those. There's a good chance you will at some point in life. And if not, you're going to minister to people. You're going to counsel people. And so all of those things are profitable, even if you're not in those seasons. So anyway, I wanted to get through all of that because I didn't want to get to Jonah and say, well, what is it that God's telling you to do? Because, you know, God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. And you'd be like, well, I don't really know. So I made sure that we went through what I called the family life study. Because if you're like, well, I don't know, it was really easy to be like, well, go back and listen to it. Because it's pretty easy to know. The Bible was very clear. And you can go back and listen. It's just the most basic of basic things. So then we got into Jonah. And that took about a year. And here we are. We got through Jonah. The whole goal behind the thing was knowing what it is that God told me to do. Because we've got to be busy about God's work. Okay, so now we know what it is, I hope, after a year's worth of me asking, what is it that God is telling you to do? Grab a hold of it and do it. And do that until He tells you to do something different. Right? And you know, the theme of this year is everybody be, everyone bring. Go back and listen to last week if you don't know what the bring part means. But okay, so that brings us to, so now what? We've got this foundation of theology. You know, the foundation of your Christian doctrine comes out of the book of Romans. We know how to not let that trip us up and end up a carnal church. Like if you just look around, you know, most churches in America are. We know that we need to be busy about what God has told us to do. And so where do we go from there? And that's what I was praying for 6 months as I'm going through Jonah, thinking, God, I need direction. Like, where are we going with this thing? Where are we going with this thing? And I want to make sure that, you know, everybody can grab a hold of it and go. Because as we get into the book of Acts, you need to know why we're here. Because it's easy to get caught up in, why are we talking about speaking in tongues? Like, that doesn't happen anymore. And here's why. Here's just the black and the white of it. Flip over to somebody here, I can do it. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus is, He's given this parable. And you could be new at HBF, and I guarantee you've heard at least the gist of this verse, right? Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, he's given this parable about, you know, the guys who were watching over the house and all the different things, right? And you can go back and read the parable. I want to stick to the point here. It says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And then this is where I want to get to. It says, for whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. We have... So here's the problem. I've put you guys, past point, in a situation where you no longer have an excuse. You have too much knowledge in the sense of if you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you better have some fruit that goes along with all this knowledge. Right? You have the knowledge, which you need a foundation, but what are you doing with it? What are we doing with the knowledge that we have? Because if all we're doing is coming to church, I think we've missed the mark, like by a mile. And not just by a little bit, but we're way off. It's good to do those things. It's good to do Christian fun things. But if all we have is knowledge, I think we've missed the mark. And we have been given so much at HBF in Christ. Not even just at HBF, but just in Christ. And now you have the knowledge that goes along with that. Now I understand you might not know the ins and outs of every doctrinal theology in the Bible. Praise the Lord. It would probably just make your head big anyway, right? It's not all it's cut out to be, right? But we have been given too much to not do something with it. And so we went through all these things. To whom much is given, much is required. And so the title of the book of Acts, as we start this thing, whether it's next week or the week after, we're going to do a trip update that's as important as this. But it's the title of the book of Acts for the entire way is Going from Knowledge to Action. Stop it. No, because, and here's, I want to explain that to you, but it's going from knowledge to action. The disciples spent three and a half years, however long, with Jesus every day.
Discipleship should take 3.5 years.
Sometimes it does. These guys spent every single day, pretty much, with Christ. Do you not think that their life was changed in the sense of the knowledge that they had of the things of God in 3.5 years? So then what happens when all of a sudden one day Jesus is gone? He'd been telling them it was going to happen, but I mean, did they really believe it? I don't think so. So much so that they all fell away. You know, Peter tries to follow him and he denies him 3 times. John follows him from afar because he's scared. I mean, none of them really clung to him like he needed to. They had all of this knowledge and now the knowledge giver was gone. So what are they going to do with it? Right? If you turn over to Acts chapter 1, the very beginning of the book. Interestingly enough, it starts with 1. Acts chapter 1. And then, actually, what I want to talk about is what happens right before that. Right before Acts chapter 1 is John chapter 21. And that's the passage where Jesus is, you know, now not here every day. And the disciples, you know, they're all hanging out. And they're like, well, what are we going to do? And Peter says, well, I guess we'll go fishing. The problem is he was fishing for the wrong thing. What happened was Peter, he goes back to his old life without Christ in his face every day. He's like, well, I guess we'll go fishing. You know, and you can read through it. I don't have time to do any of that. But read through this whole chapter because God's doing a lot of things in the heart of Peter leading into the book of Acts. And they go fishing. They don't catch anything. And, you know, Jesus shows up on the shore. He yells out to the boat, hey, you caught anything? And they don't know it's Jesus at the time. And they're like, nope, been here all night. Thanks for asking, right? Yeah. Have you ever been fishing when you're not catching anything and, you know, somebody comes walking by, did you catch anything? No, and I don't really want to talk about it either. Thanks for asking, right? I hate fishing. I don't mind catching, but if you can't guarantee that we're going to go catching, then I've probably got other things I'd rather do, right? So that's just me personally. But so, so anyway, he says, well, why don't you try casting your net on the other side of the ship? And the disciples are probably thinking, gee, I wish we didn't think of that earlier. Like, I'm sure they've tried every different side of this boat. So they do it. They throw it over there, and then the net's so full that it breaks because there's so many fish in it. So then the light bulb goes off, and they're like, oh, that's probably Jesus. You know, and then there's, you know, Peter's fishing naked. You got to figure out what that means. Good luck with that. You know, it says he's got to put his... Anyway, he's ashamed. That's a picture of ashamed. He is not actually naked. He didn't have his fishing coat on. Anyway, he casts himself into the sea. He swims to the bank. The other disciples are like rowing past him in the boat. Like, why'd you jump in the water, dummy? You know, he thinks he's going to get there faster. And anyway, they get to the bank and Jesus, you know, he tells them, you know, bring the fish and come and dine. And just that phrase, come and dine, is huge because that's what Jesus just wants to sup with you. He just wants to meet with you. And so, and that's the passage where Jesus tells Peter, you know, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. You know, feed my sheep. And we read that and, it, you know, the word love means different things. Again, that's a side study for you to do if you haven't heard me talk about it before. You know, he's using different Greek words, you know. He's using the word agape and he's using the word phileo. Anyway, the whole point is, in chapter 21, the disciples had an opportunity to figure out life after Jesus, and they didn't do a very good job of it. And Jesus shows up face to face and he's like, okay, we've missed the mark here. And then the next thing that we read after that is Acts chapter 1. And it's like their next chance to get it right. The disciples' next chance to get this life after Jesus, this life after all of the face-to-face knowledge, right. That's the next thing that you see, and that's what the book of Acts is these guys realizing that Jesus actually isn't going to be here every single day. So what? How are we going to accomplish what he told us to do? Because the last thing that Jesus says to them, right, if your Bible has red letters in it, the last thing that Jesus says to them is in Acts 1:8, and he says, but ye shall receive power. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He tells them, you're going to go and accomplish this mission even without me here. That's the last thing he says. And the disciples are like, well, how are we going to do that? And honestly, us as Christians, as the Past Point class, as people who know what the Bible says, we honestly ought to be asking the same question. Because if you think you've got the answer figured out, you need to take heed lest you fall. We should be asking daily, how in the world are we ever going to do the monumental task that he's asked us to do? And that's what the book of Acts is about. It's about, hey, this is how we're going to do it, one step at a time. And it's just the story of these guys trying to figure out life without Jesus face to face. The cool thing is, Jesus knew that, well, they're just dudes. And he knew that they're not going to make it very long without a helper, you know, the Holy Ghost. And then the day of Pentecost happens in chapter 2, and they have the Holy Ghost indwelling them. And then it's just like they've got this superpower now that they can do things that they never could do before. Well, you know, spoiler alert, you guys already have that superpower in you if you're born again. So you have no excuse. And so the point is, we have all of this knowledge. We have all of the things that we need to be doing. The question is, are we doing them? And how are we getting them done? Because we just spent a year looking at what is it that God told me to do. And if you don't have the answer to that, that's on you. Because I've asked you that question about every different way that I know how. Right? And so now you know what it is. How are you going to get it done? Well, the book of Acts should definitely lead us into how that's going to happen. Right? And there's so many different roadblocks and trips and stumbles along the way. You know, the things that the devil will throw in the way to try to confuse us and confound us. And there's some really cool doctrines in the book of Acts. There's some really cool things that God did for a season that honestly I wish that were still happening today. But they were signed gifts for a certain amount of time for a purpose in that season. We'll talk about what that purpose was and all of those things later. But what we do need to know is we have the greatest gift. Everybody wants to get caught up in the spiritual gifts and the sign gifts and this, that, and the other. The biggest gift came in chapter 2. And it's the one that you have, and so you don't think about it. If you didn't have the Holy Spirit, none of those other things would ever matter. And so you have the Holy Ghost, and it's just figuring out how to walk life out in the Holy Ghost. And so I hope that that gives you at least a little bit of peace about where we're going in the book of Acts. Because we do. We have all this knowledge. And if by the end of the book we haven't figured out how to take that knowledge and turn it into practical action, we've missed it. And so at that point, honestly, I hope Jesus comes back, because I really don't know where there is to go after that as a class, you know, because we've got the knowledge, we've got the teaching, and we've got the action on how to do it. And so God's going to have to reveal that to me. But hopefully Jesus comes back before then. But anyway, like I'm already asking God, because I'm like, this fast forwards us to what now? If we get to the end of the book of Acts and we're doing what God has told us, I mean, that's actually the goal, right? He says, keep these things till I come. And hopefully by the end of the book, we're keeping these things, not just in word, but in action. And then that way when we do stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we have so much fruit to bring to him. Things that aren't just going to burn up, but things that are going to be worth, you know, these are the gold, silver, and precious stones. These are the souls of men. You know, this is the word of God that we invested in, the things that are actually mattering. So I hope that kind of gives you a little bit of vision as we go into this. We're going to hit Acts chapter 1 running. I will say this. Each chapter won't take as long as each chapter in Jonah did. We'll take larger portions at a time unless there's something that we need to slow down and hit. But I will promise you this. We won't fast forward over the difficult stuff because that's what some people like to do. When they get to a passage that's hard to teach or difficult to understand or could be a little bit like, oh, are you sure that's what it means? A lot of times what people will do is they'll try to like just fast forward over it. They're hopscotching over it. I'll just touch it with my toe as I move on to the next thing that I know everybody kind of understands. We'll take our time because I want you guys to understand what speaking in tongues was all about and why it's not a thing anymore. What the gift of healing was and why it was given to them at this time. What some of those things are that seem like, well, why are these other churches still doing that? And so we won't fast forward over those. So anyway, wish me luck because there's pray. That's what that means. And so you just get into it. Yeah, Mitch.
I was thinking earlier, I think you said that in John 21 that the net was broken. But the interesting nugget is when he calls Peter, the net breaks. In John 21, the net doesn't break. It specifically mentions that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting nugget to study.
Right. There's so much there, and I just think it's not a coincidence the way that God ties these things together so quickly from John 21 to Acts chapter 1 and what he's doing in the life of the disciples, them getting things figured out that, hey, I'm not going to have Jesus face to face every day of my life. But, you know, if you read in the book of Peter, he's like, well, guess what? I actually did have Jesus face to face. I went to the Mount of Transfiguration with him. I saw him shine like the God he is. And he says, actually, the word that I hold in my hand is a more sure word of prophecy. Like, think about that. And we teach that in D1 and with the lesson on the word of God. But he saw Christ face to face. He actually saw him transformed into the literal God. And he's like, yeah, I saw that. And actually, if you ask me, I think the word's better. The word's more true. And so, like, wow. And, you know, that's Peter turning into the leader that God wants him to do. And that's us as a class as we walk through this. Turning into the, you know, the believers, the followers, and the leaders that God wants us to be. Because guys, the time's short, and we've really got to get busy. And I'm not saying that because you guys aren't busy, like, we're exhausted, I know. But, like, there's only so much time, so we got to get it where it needs to go while there is time, right? And so I hope you guys really are on board with that, because there's a lot of things. This is going to lead to a lot of things that we practically can do. I hope you're up for it, because if not, this might not be the place for you, because we're going to be going and blowing hard. So, all right, let's pray. I hope that at least gives you a little bit of info on Acts, where we're going and how we're going to do it. And we're going to go from knowledge to action. So we'll see what that looks like. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for being good to us. Lord, we didn't get into a lot of scripture today per se, but the things that we did hit, man, God, you've given us so much. Even if we weren't here when we taught through Romans and your word, your salvation in our life is so much. And so if we've been given that, we are required to do so much more. And so I pray that you do convict us, you do draw us closer to you, that you do spur us up as a class to go and get the word of God where it needs to go on time. You know, we looked last week into what the Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost actually looks like in our life. And it's sometimes not exactly what we think it looks like. And so I pray that if people didn't catch that, they need to go back and hear that, because, you know, your uttermost might be down the street and, you know, all of those things. So I pray that you would speak to us, Lord, and be with Pastor Brian as he preaches today. I know he's fired up. He hasn't been at HBF for a few weeks. So I pray you just speak through him. Lord, I just pray you get the glory for everything that happens today. And, you know, that the red team wins. In Christ's name, amen.
Speaking of that, we got these combat sheets if anybody wants them to fill out for the game later on. It's just fun stuff to do with us. And